So, without further ado, please turn with me to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 18. Now, the passage before is perhaps one of the most important passages about Christ in the whole of the New Testament. And in fact, it is one of the high points in all the Bible talking about Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 18 describe the person and work of Christ in the highest and the most exalted terms imaginable. When we say that the person of Christ, we are talking about who Christ is. And when we say that the work of Christ, we're talking about what Christ has done for us. And we are going to look at the person of Christ and today in verses 15 to 18. And of course, you can study the rest of the chapter yourself, verses 19 and onwards, about the work of Jesus Christ. That's today, so we're going to talk about and concentrate on the person of Jesus Christ. Now, it has been said that the best way to spot a counterfeit is to know the original. And whether it is a counterfeit money, or a counterfeit painting, or the best way to recognize what is the false is to know what is true. It is the same way with any false teaching about Jesus Christ. When it comes to Christianity, most false teaching distorts either the person of Jesus Christ or the work of Jesus Christ. And so the best antidote to false teaching is to know the truth about who Jesus is and what he has done for us. And that's what, you know, today's passage is. And we'll be concentrating, of course, on the person of Jesus Christ. And they provide us with a solid doctrinal grounding in the person of Jesus Christ and his work. So this morning we're going to look at concentrating on verses 15 to 18, which focuses on the person of Jesus Christ, or who Jesus is. Now, this is so important because without a proper view of Christ, you will never learn to live a life with Christ at its center. As Christian pastor and author John Stout puts it, I quote, "Nothing is more important for Christian discipleship than a fresh, clear, true vision of the authentic Jesus," unquote. Now, in our verses today, Paul answers three questions about the person of Jesus Christ. First of all, who Jesus is in relation to God. Second, who is Jesus in relation to creation? And number three, who is Jesus in relation to the church, to our church? And here are the answers. Number one, in relation to God, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And number two, in relation to creation, Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. And number three, in relation to the church, Jesus is the head of the church, which the church is the body of Christ. And we are going to look at what each of these three descriptions mean. But right up front, let me tell you that together, these verses teach us the preeminence of Christ, or you can say the supremacy of Jesus Christ. Jesus is preeminent over all things, which is why Christ is central to all things, which is why we are called to live a Christ-centered life. Let us look at each of these three descriptions of Christ. The first of all, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Now, that's what Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says. He says, who, or it refers to Jesus Christ, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. God, the firstborn of every creature. The Bible tells us that God is spirit, which means that he is invisible. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16 says that God only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see. Well, have you ever seen God before? No, you haven't. None of us. You know, if you did, you would be dead. But Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And when Jesus came, the invisible God became visible. That the word translated image in this verse, in verse 15, is the word that means a copy, not just a cheap copy, but an exact copy or representation. In the New Testament times was use of the use of images on the coin. Now, we still use images on our coin today. And do you want to know who what Queen Elizabeth II looked like? Well, just pick up a 20-cent coin. And you realize that each coin of our Australian coins have different images of Queen Elizabeth. I noticed a 20-cent coin has a younger image of a Queen Elizabeth. It's interesting. Now, so, do you want to know what God is like? Well, just look at Jesus. Hebrews 1:3 says, Jesus being the brightness of His glory and express image of His person. Of course, we can't literally see Jesus in our days, but we get to see God in a sense of knowing what God is like through studying who Jesus is in the Bible. And however, in John chapter 14, when Jesus was talking with His disciples about God, Philip asked Him, Lord, show us the Father, and He sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, he said. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Jesus is the image of the invisible God. And if you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. Remember, the Ten Commandments says the second commandment forbids us from making any images of God. We are not to make any idols or representations of God. Why? Because Jesus is the image of God. We are created in God's image, but Jesus actually is God's image itself. Now we read in John 1, verse 18, No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. So who is Jesus and what is John saying here? Well, that the God who is invisible became visible through Jesus Christ. So that who Jesus is in relation to God, He is the image of the invisible God. Now next we want to see who Jesus is in relation to creation. And here we learn that Jesus is the firstborn over all creation. Look at verses 15 to 17. Who is the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created, and are in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Now these are amazing words, staggering in their description of Christ in His relation to creation. Now remember the false teachings at Colossae had a wrong view of creation. And they taught that all matter was evil. Anything you can touch, which is tangible, is evil, whether a material world or the human body. But the Bible says or teaches us that God's creation is good, was created good by God, and that Jesus is the firstborn of all of God's creation. The phrase, the firstborn of every creation is important, or every creature rather, is important phrase to understand correctly. Unfortunately, it has been wrongly used over the years to teach that Jesus was the first created being. For example, there was an early heresy of the church called the Arianism. The Arianism was the false teaching that taught that Jesus was created rather than eternal. The Jehovah's Witnesses today teach the same thing. They're the modern-day Arians. Remember what we said earlier, most false teachings have to do with the distortion of either the person of Jesus Christ or the work of Jesus Christ. That the false teachings of Arianism, or Jehovah's Witnesses, are both a distortion of the person and work of Jesus Christ. They give a false understanding of who Jesus is, what he has done. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus was Angel Michael, and he obeyed God the Father, and therefore he was there later on. After he died on the cross, was exalted to be a son. And they believe that the word of John in John chapter 1 verse 1 and wisdom personified in also in Proverbs 8 refer to Jesus in his pre-human existence, and that he resumed these identities after his ascension to heaven following his death and resurrection. And by the way, the Christadelphians and Mormons and many other cults in, and unfortunately in Adelaide, also distort the person of Jesus Christ or the work of Jesus Christ. They all like to make him less than the eternal God himself. We need to teach our young people to be very, very careful of them. Now, in the Bible, the word firstborn does not necessarily mean the one who was born first. Rather, it means that the one who has the right of inheritance. In fact, the firstborn was used as a title for the Messiah, and who would rule over inheriting God's kingdom. For example, God says this about the Messiah in Psalm 89, verse 7, "And also I will make him my firstborn," which referred to the Messiah, the Jesus Christ, "higher than the kings of the earth." And also the phrase, "the firstborn of every creature or creation," does not mean that Christ was the first created being. Rather, it means that Christ is his superiority over all creation. That he is the ruler and heir of all creation. And as the firstborn of every creature, Jesus is both the ruler and the heir. Pastor John MacArthur notes that when firstborn is followed by a plural, as Colossians chapter 1 verse 18, or Romans 8:29, the firstborn is part of the class that follows. And it says when it is followed by a singular, it means rank or superiority over that class. And there is a different word, he says, that Paul could have used for first created, which is prototistos. But he didn't use that word, Paul, he said. He used the word firstborn or prototokos instead. So he used a different word. Rather than saying that he was first created, he said he was the firstborn. So when we compare scripture to scripture, it becomes clear that Jesus was not a created being. For example, we read in John chapter 1, "All things were created, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything that was made." John 1 verse 3. Now if all things were made by him, Jesus Christ, and without him was not anything made that was made, as John chapter 1 verse 3 says, then he cannot be the part of all things that were made. He cannot be a created being himself. So who is Jesus in relation to creation? That he is the firstborn or ruler over all creation. And in the next verses, Paul tells us that four things that are true of Jesus as the firstborn over creation. creation. Number one, Jesus created all things. Number two, Jesus inherits all things. Number three, Jesus existed before all things. Number four, Jesus sustains all things. So first of all, Jesus created all things. Look with me in verse 16. It said, "For by him were all things created, and they are in heaven, and they are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." Once again, Jesus created all things, therefore he is uncreated. If he created all things, then he cannot be part of creation himself. And when Paul says Jesus created all things, he really means all things, everything. And first of all, he created all things in heaven and in earth. This is a reflection of Genesis chapter 1, where we read, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Everything. And creation tells us that God created the heavens and the earth. Colossians tells us that Jesus created all things in heaven and on earth. Now, the conclusion is unmistakable. Jesus is God, and all things were created by him. Jesus, as God, did not, save the world apart from Christ, but just as God did not save the world apart from Christ, so he did not create the world apart from Christ. God the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost are all involved in the great acts of creation and redemption. If you want to state it very more precisely as possible, you could probably put it this way. God the Father created the world through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Ghost. And God the Father saves us through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Ghost. But back in Colossians now, and now Paul continues in his descriptions of all things that Jesus created. And the things in heaven and on earth that Jesus created are further described as visible and invisible. And there's both, as we know, the physical and the spiritual world that God created, seen and unseen world. We only see the physical world. I don't think anybody can see through the invisible, the spiritual world here. But the spiritual world is just as real. Now, where did the physical world come from? It comes through Jesus Christ. And where did the spiritual world come from? It also came through Jesus Christ. Now, Paul described this invisible spiritual world, the unseen world, even further when he says, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, that these terms refer to the various beings that inhabit the spiritual world. And an early writer tries to rank these spiritual beings and figures out of the ones were more powerful than the others. And for example, they put the thrones in what they call the seventh or the highest level of heaven. And however, the Bible never really ranked these beings for us. When I say spiritual beings, it refers to angels, the angels that God made. Now, Paul gives a similar list in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21, but in the different order, that so we cannot figure out rank from the list. And that's not the point anyways. The point is that Jesus created all things, all these beings, and therefore Jesus is preeminent above all things. He is the firstborn. He is the ruler of creation. Now remember, worship of angels was part of the false teachings at Colossae. It is wrong to worship angels. Paul corrects that. This teaching by saying that Jesus created all things in heaven and in earth, visible and invisible. Therefore, we should only worship God and Jesus Christ. and exalt Him in our worship. And Jesus, as I said, Jesus has not only created all things, He also inherited all things that we see at the end of verse 16. All things were created by Him and for Him. Remember, that's part of what the firstborn means. The firstborn was the one who had the rights of inheritance. That's what it means to be the firstborn. Hebrews 1:2 says about Jesus' right of inheritance when it describes Him as God's Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom He also made the worlds. Romans 11:36 says something similar about God. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. And so Jesus is not only there at the beginning of all things as the Creator, He is also there at the end of all things as the heir of creation. It's interesting that the rabbis, Jewish rabbis, taught that the world was created by the Messiah, a former Messiah, but they did not know that the Messiah also created the world. He recognizes the Messiah is going to inherit, you know, the world, and was created for Messiah, but they did not recognize the Messiah created the world. So Colossians teaches us that all things were created by Jesus and all things were created for Him. Jesus is the heir of creation. He is not only, you know, He did not only create all things, He also inherits all things. And then the third thing Colossians tells us about Jesus as the firstborn of all creation is that Jesus existed before all things. Once again, Colossians chapter 1 verse 17 says, and He is before all things. We read the same thing in John chapter 1 verse 1-2, which the Jehovah's Witnesses unfortunately like to twist, and they have their own Bible version to twist the word there. And we read in our King James, it says, and the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Jehovah's Witnesses like to say that the Word was a God. And it reads on, it says verse 2, and He was with God in the beginning. And in the beginning, before anything had yet been created, Jesus was with God, and He was God Himself. He was not a God, He was God, very God Himself. And in John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus told the Jews, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And this is a remarkable statement, because that phrase, I am, was the divine name for God. And when the Jews heard Him said this, they wanted to pick up the stones and stone Him to death, because in claiming this name for Himself, Jesus was claiming to be none other than the eternal God Himself, who always is and has always been and always will be. So because they did not believe who Jesus is, and did not believe that Jesus is God Himself, they want to stone Him to death. And notice in Colossians chapter 1 verse 17 says, He is, or Jesus is, the Colossians 1:17 says. And in John chapter 8 verse 58, by comparison, Jesus says, I am. So He is, and then I am. We mentioned Arianism, the early church history, a church heresy, and you know, which taught that Jesus was a created being. And the background history is that there was a name called Arius, was the founder of this false teaching, and he summed up of all his teaching with the statements about Christ, and I quote, that this is what he says about Jesus Christ: there was once when Jesus was not, which means that He was not an eternal God. And yet Colossians teaches us that Jesus is before all things, and therefore there was never a time when Jesus was not. He existed eternally from the past. And the Nicene Creed, which is also called the Nicene Constantinople Creed, which is a statement of the Orthodox faith, in the early church in opposition to certain heresies, especially Arianism, and which was drafted and adopted in June 325 AD, which says, in this section in the Creed says, I quote, that Jesus is Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, begotten from their Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of the same essence as the Father, through him all things were made. Amen. Unquote. Now, in other words, God the Father is eternally the Father, and Jesus Christ is eternally the Son, and the Holy Spirit is eternally the Spirit. And there was never a time when God the Father was not a Father. There was never a time that the Son of God was not the Son. And obviously, there was a time I was not a father. That was not the case for God the Father. And I did not become a father until my first child came into existence in 2005. But God the Father has always been the Father because Jesus has always been the Son. Jesus never came into existence just like God the Father has always existed. So Jesus has always existed. He is eternal Son of God. Or as Colossians says, he is before all things. So what do we mean when we say Jesus is the firstborn of all creation? Number one, Jesus created all things. Number two, Jesus inherits all things. Number three, Jesus existed before all things. And then finally, Jesus sustains all things. Back to Colossians chapter 1 verse 17. And then he said, he is before all things. And then there's a phrase, wonderful phrase there. And by him, all things consist. Now, this is a very important phrase there. And so Jesus is not only the creator of the universe, he's also the sustainer of the universe. As Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, the Son being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. I love the phrase there. You know, God. And so the word consists there means holding together or held together. And that means Jesus sustains all things or hold everything you see around us, and including you and I, both and everything, and with his almighty power. And so God did not just wind the universe up like a toy and let it just walk away to have his rundowns on his own. But he is intimately involved in all of creation by his divine power. We call that divine providence of God. And here in Colossians, God's providential care of the universe is revealed as the sustaining power of Jesus. And the firstborn of all creation. The galaxies that we see spin at his command. And every star, every planet, every atom, every molecule in every moment is completely and totally dependent upon Jesus Christ. If Christ should cease to sustain everything and all things, the creation would have ceased to exist, and everything that we see around us would have collapsed. Earth, everything you breathe, everything that you see in this world is dependent or being sustained by the power of Jesus Christ. Jesus is therefore preeminent over creation and all things. He was preeminent over creation in the past, in the present, and also in the future. So past, present, and the future, he is preeminent in everything, in every way. See, he's preeminent over all creation in the past because he is the creator of all things. Now, he is preeminent over creation in the present because he is the sustainer of all things. He is the God of the divine providence. He holds everything together that we see around us. He is preeminent over creation in the future because he is the heir of all things. So, what do we mean when we say Jesus is the firstborn of all creation? Jesus created all things. He inherits all things. Jesus existed before all things. Jesus sustains all things. Now, we would be hard-pressed to find a stronger statement of Christ's supremacy or preeminence and his divinity other than Colossians chapter 1. A wonderful passage. Once again, we're looking at the person of Christ. And then so far we have seen that who Jesus is in relation to God and in relation to creation. And now we come to the third and final point, who Jesus is in relation to the church. Look at verse 18 with me. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he might have the preeminence. Now the word he at the beginning there in verse 18 is emphatic, which means that the word he expresses something forcefully and clearly. So no human being, obviously, on earth is the head of the church. Not even Pope, okay? He is just a human being. Pretend to be the head of the church. Now, that extinction belongs to Christ. Jesus alone is the head of the church. The church is the body of Christ, and Jesus is the head of the body. That means that there is a living relation between Christ and the church. Now, we are the church, by the way. The people of God is the church. Now, and we are worshiping in the church building. So, there's a living relation between the church and Jesus Christ, even as there is a living relation between the head or and the body. As the body of Christ, we are united with Christ Jesus, who is our head. Paul goes on to define what he means when he says Christ is the head of the church, and he tells us two things in particular. Jesus is the beginning, and he is the firstborn from among the dead. Now, first of all, he is the beginning of the church. And the word head refers to both the source and authority. As the beginning of the church, Jesus is both the founder and ruler of the church. Jesus affirmed this to Peter in the Gospel of Matthew. We read in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16, Simon Peter answered, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered, "Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and but upon this rock I will build my church." And that this rock is not Peter, okay? So the Roman Catholic Church says the rock is Peter. Therefore, Peter was the first pope, and therefore the popes, the subsequent popes, are the head of the church. Now, this is not the teaching of the Bible. He said, "Thou art the Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against thee." Now, Jesus founded the church on the solid rock of what? Of Peter's confession, not upon Peter. So he is not the first pope. And the head of the church is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. So Jesus is the beginning of the church. And then the head of the body, Jesus, as the head of the body, Jesus is also the firstborn from among the dead. Colossians chapter 1 verse 18 says, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he might have the preeminence." Now the first thing we should grasp from this verse is still amazing. The fact after all these years that Jesus is alive and alive forevermore. He rose from the dead on the third day. We serve a risen Savior. He's not dead and buried in a tomb, who is alive forevermore. And Christ's resurrection is the basis of our life and our faith. Now, there's no church or faith without Christ's resurrection. So if you do not believe that Jesus rose risen from the dead, you are not a Christian. And if Jesus did not rise from the dead, our faith is in vain, Paul said. Paul actually said there's no resurrection of Jesus. If there's no resurrection of Jesus Christ, our faith is in vain. So that this is the gospel. This is the good news. We proclaim that Jesus is alive. However, the good news gets even better than that. Jesus not only rose from the dead, He is the firstborn among all creation. And brother, from among the dead, he's the firstborn among the dead. And that means that we will be raised from the dead too. In verse 15, told us that Christ is the firstborn of every creature. In verse 18, says that he is the firstborn from among the dead. Once again, this does not necessarily mean that he is the first to be raised from the dead. Rather, just as verse 15, it means preeminence or supremacy, that Christ's resurrection is the basis of all other resurrections in the future. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we will be raised too. And we get to see our loved ones and our families and our dear friends. In the future, if Christ comes back today, we get to see them. We find the same teaching expressed in a slightly different way in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 to 21. It says, Christ become the first fruits of them that slept or die. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. At harvest time, the first fruits were an indication of what was yet to come. The first fruits is what follows. And the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. The resurrected Jesus was an indication that we too, all of us who believe in Jesus Christ, will be raised from the dead. And those who slept, who died before us, before the coming of Christ, will also be raised back to life again. The firstborn from among the dead carries a similar meaning to the first fruits, therefore. Because Jesus is the head of the body, and because Jesus rose from the dead, we who are part of the body of Christ will also be raised from the dead. How can the head be raised and not the body as well? And then Colossians chapter 1 verse 18 ends with a summary of this whole section, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Christ's resurrection from the dead completes the picture. He is the firstborn of all creation. He is the firstborn from among the dead. He is preeminent over all creation. He is preeminent over the old creation, and is preeminent over the new creation. Christ is preeminent over all things. Now the word preeminence, by the way, I've been saying that for a number of times, is the word that means to be first. To be first in our lives. And to hold first place in our lives. Other Bible translation uses the word supreme or supremacy. Jesus is preeminent or supreme over all things. So he should always have first place in our lives. First place in the universe, first place in a church, and first place in our personal life. The false teaching at Colossae tried to move Jesus out of the way, out of the first place in our lives, out of the church life, and out of public life. Cult groups today are trying very hard to demote Jesus Christ to be less than God. But Christ is preeminent. He is supreme. He is central. And he deserves first place in everything. He deserves first place in our lives. Why should you live the Christ-centered life? Because Christ is preeminent. Christ as the center of all things. He is at the center of who God is. He is at the center of the universe. He is at the center of the church. And it should be. He is the head of the church. He is central to all things because he is preeminent over all things. Now what place does Jesus Christ have in your life, my friends? If Christ is preeminent over all things, then he should be preeminent in your life as well. Christ first should be your motive of all things, whatever you do in the personal life and in the public life, and in the church life. Christ is central. Christ is preeminent. So would you give Christ first place in your life? I pray that you will, you and I will give Christ the first place in our lives, in every areas. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank thee for your word today. We acknowledge that Jesus Christ is indeed the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is preeminent over all creation, who is the image of the invisible God. Father, we also acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the head of the body, the church. Oh Lord, we pray that you will help us to put Jesus Christ in our preeminent place in our hearts, whether it be our personal life, our church life, or public life. Help us to put him first. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.